All right, good evening, saints. Can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Continuing in our study of that. And it was brought out to my attention that we forgot Mrs. Simpson's birthday. I believe it was on the 11th. I knew that and I forgot it. And then I knew it and then I forgot it again. So, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. I know that I'm in trouble. Happy birthday, Mrs. Simpson. Happy birthday to you. I'll pay for that, I'm sure. At any rate, since somebody wasn't brave enough to publicly announce it, So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to continue in that, but first I want to start off with a story I've heard a while ago, a few years back. There were parents of two sons, rather. One of the sons was a full-blown pessimist, and the other was an incurable optimist. And it made for interesting times at their house, and they had thoughts that this situation was so unrealistic that they needed to get some help. They needed to get a psychiatrist involved. And so the psychiatrist said, I think I can help you with that. And so they said, oh, great. How? And he said, well, first off, we'll get a magnificent set of toys, like one that no other boy has ever seen. And we'll put them in a room and we'll take the pessimist there. We'll set him down there and turn him loose. And when he sees and understands that all of those toys are for him, of course, he'll overcome his pessimist ways. He'll overcome that. And they said, that's great. What about the other son, the optimist? The psychiatrist said, I have a friend who's got a horse stable. He said, we can get any amount of quantity of the material that they clean out of that stable, and we'll put it in a room. And well, when the optimist has seen what his brother got, all those beautiful toys, and he sees what he gets, he'll get over being an optimist real quick. Well, they did that. Finally, after a period of time, they went in and they observed the boys. They looked in the boys, the room with the toys, and the boy, the pessimist sitting there, and he's sitting there crying. And so they go in, they walk in, they say, what, why are you crying? He said, well, I just know that somebody's going to come and take these away from me. So they went down, scratching their heads, to the next room to where the optimist was. That boy was on top of that pile of stuff, just throwing stuff over his shoulders as fast as he could. They're like, what are you doing? He says, I just know there's a pony in there. Sometimes we can't escape our character, brethren. And change is difficult at times, but never impossible. So we just got to keep a good attitude. All right. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to be talking about some spiritual growing up. But we're going to read verses 1 through 4. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly, and are you not walking like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not mere men? Let's have a quick word of prayer. Father God in heaven, we are so appreciative of you, appreciative of the instructions that we have through your holy scriptures and the exhortations, warnings that we have in them. It's my prayer this evening, Father, that we would walk away encouraged from these words that we'll be going through tonight, that we would be further equipped for the work of service and truly understanding that we have a really important job and purpose in Christ, and that in order to fulfill that, we will need to be very diligent and following your teachings and your exhortations. So be with me as I communicate them, that they'd be communicated clearly. And it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. Excuse me. You know, as a dad, as a father of a seven-year-old, one of the things that I find myself saying a lot is, grow up. Grow up, right? There's various things that you can expect from a child in a different certain ages. You can start to expect more and more from them. There's a time that parents need their kids to grow up, you know, to move on to bigger things, move up to the next level of maturity. Okay, and they need to grow up and start showing some of that maturity. They're in different levels, they're able to start standing a little bit more and more on their own, right? And so not to require so much parental involvement for things. And so I find myself as a parent saying that, grow up. And well, brethren, we are all children of God, aren't we? Right? One of the things that we find in the New Testament as we read through this is that we find in various places God saying, grow up, people. Grow up. We found out that the passage that we worked through last time I was up, that was that, hey, the Lord has given us great things. He's opened a lot of things up to us. He's given the very mind of Christ to us, right? We looked at that. He's given us His Spirit. And the Spirit searches all things, right? Even to the depths of God is what we looked at. And that everything has been opened up and made available to us in Christ. But it is entirely possible for people that have been renewed and recreated in the likeness of Christ to still walk in the flesh. And so the exhortation is to grow up into spiritual things. You know, let go of that grasp of the flesh and still in acting like fleshly people, fleshly minded people. And so Paul tells these guys in Corinth, I wanted to speak to you as to spiritual people, but I couldn't. I deal with you as if I'm dealing with babies, right? Okay, so you're still acting fleshly, people. Grow up. And so he says, grow up. A couple of other things that I want to mention in way of introduction. You know, I enjoy being a dad immensely. There are some times that some experiences are good and some experiences that are not so good. Right? But one of the greatest things ever, one of the greatest challenges, one of the greatest joys, but I think God certainly knows what's best for each of us in all of our situations, right? Because He stopped my wife and I at one baby. We started out wanting four, right? Or at least I did. She's like looking at me like I'm crazy, but that was that on the early onset, that was the desire. You know, and what we quickly realized, what God had known all along, one's plenty, right? One is plenty, especially for us, being a somewhat elderly guy. But, you know, there's a difference here. You know, in the church, and we've got to be honest about this, the exhortation that God gives us in the church is to continue to be faithful and multiply, right? The exhortation that God gives us within the church, we don't get to say, that's enough. That's plenty. So what does that mean? If we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, there's always going to be babies being born into Christ's church. So that means that we're not going to get to go into rest mode, right? Where everybody's all grown up and we can just relax and enjoy each other's company, right? It doesn't work that way. So the reality of it, because by nature of what we do, there's always new people coming in who are babes in Christ. And they're sometimes acting fleshly. Okay? Oh, and which, by the way, does give us who are not babies more opportunities to grow and to actually deal with these babies in a mature manner. Okay, but that's not going to happen if we don't grow up in Christ. Okay? So along the way, God uses this process for the growth of us all, okay, if we're plugged in. The spiritual growth of Christians It really does parallel quite a bit the physical growth of children. You look at 1 John, he writes to the children. He writes to the young men. He writes to the fathers. You know, there's a parallel here. And babies, by nature, they long for the milk, right? They long for the milk. Scripture tells babes in Christ long for pure milk of the word. Okay? Babies, they get hungry, right? Even they get hungry and thirsty. Before they can even communicate, they have a way of telling you they're hungry, right? They have a way of telling you, I need something, okay? Babes in Christ that long for the pure milk of the word, scriptures would say. But you know, babies continue to grow, and eventually, milk isn't enough, is it? They want to explore into other foods, things like crackers, you know. Some foods that, yeah, that's a little bit of a risk, but you got to be careful with it, you know, make sure they don't choke. Same is true spiritually. Okay? It's often said from up here that you just as our physical bodies need nourishment, so do our spirits. We need spiritual nourishment. It's the same correlation. The true bread that has come down from heaven, right? The word. And so we tell you up here, read your Bible. Read it every day. We need that nourishment as we grow up in Christ. Without that, it is impossible. And we continue to need more and more, just like a baby growing. So instead of understanding the foundational teachings and remaining there, we can slowly start to grow and take in more nourishment with more studying the scriptures and get into the meatier things of scriptures. And we need that. Spiritually, we need that. Okay, it's just like our physical bodies. As the physical body matures, it needs more than just milk, and the same is true spiritually. So, you ever notice older people, when they get older and older, they kind of tend to eat less and less, and they get skinnier and skinnier, and as they continue to grow old to their last days, sometimes they can't even keep food down, or they don't even eat at all. And you see them getting skinnier and skinnier and skinnier, and you just know they're on their way out. And so, brethren, this happens to us spiritually as well. It's a problem. If we ever start to think that we got all this figured out and we stop eating spiritually, guess what? We're on our way out. We need that spiritual nourishment, and it's only going to happen by being intentional in our day-to-day activities that was brought up this morning. Our how has to be big, because there's a lot of distractions out there. We've talked about it before. So those are some of the things by way of introduction tonight. But I want to work on this concept of growing up. How will that work? How will that play out? And so I think I want to look at three particular arenas in that. So we got to grow up first off in our thinking, right? We got to grow up in our speech, and then we got to grow up in our behavior. Okay, so first off, growing up in our thinking, there's a word that shows up quite often in the scriptures, and it's a pretty key word, and a lot of people try to gloss over it and just ignore it, and that is repent. Right? Repent is talked a lot about up here, but it's used in the scriptures quite a lot, so we do put emphasis on it. Matter of fact, no one can be saved without repentance. We know that. And so what does repent mean? Repent, well, it means changing your thinking, doesn't it? Metanoia. Change the mind. It's a change in thinking that results in a change in action. And we've talked about this recently. Oh, and by the way, brethren, one thing you notice, though, if you've been ingesting the pure milk of the word, you'll notice repent is not used only in reference to non-Christians. It's used as an ongoing theme. Repentance is a theme that continues throughout the New Testament. It's used in reference to Christians as well. You guys remember, you know, Revelation chapter 3, a lot of this is written to the church at Laodicea. The congregation was lukewarm, weren't they? God says, I would like that you were either hot or cold, but I don't like you lukewarm. And because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out, right? One thing he says there, the solution is be zealous, therefore, and repent. Right? Change your thinking. Get it right. The key word in that is change, right? Do people like change? Not generally. They don't like to change. They want to keep doing what they're doing, right? And so this fear, this afraid of change, I got to change something. So people figure that out in various stages. But and you can see, in one form or another, the claws of the fleshly man come out, right? I don't want to change. Okay? That's scary. People are resistant to change. And even though they know they should, well, Scripture says, be zealous. That change isn't going to happen unless you have a fire within you for it. Okay? It's not going to happen. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Got to change your thinking. Okay, that's where it starts. We talk about it a lot. Let's turn to Proverbs 23. And the reason we start here at thinking is because everything flows from this. What proceeds from the heart? What proceeds from within me? This is what defiles the man, right? It has to do with our thinking. And so everything flows from there. In Proverbs 23 and 7, there's a key phrase we use quite a bit, actually. It's this good spiritual point. It says in verse 7, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." So for any real change to take place, a change has to take place in the person's thinking. You know, a person thinks within himself, so he is, it says. You know, I've heard Luke say over the years regarding repentance, if you continue to think like you've always thought, you'll always continue to get what you've always got. That's the definition of insanity, if I'm not mistaken. Continuing to do the same things, expecting different results, that's insane. So let's put this in the context then of Corinthians chapter 3. There's a little bit of jealousy and strife going through there. There's a little bit of family feuding going on in Corinth, right? That's the context of this. But brethren, it's possible and it's entirely probable, actually, the fact that we continue to go and make disciples and get, you know, new people brought in, there's going to be some of that. It's been brought up. That happens in congregations that are seeking and saving the lost. We're going to have to deal with that. It's just the reality of it. So if you find yourself in the middle of that, the question you got to ask yourself then, do I continue to think as I've always thought and continue to get what I've always got? Do I want that? Is that what I want? Or do I want change? And so, now look, people, some people just like to fight. Okay? Some people just live in chaos. You know, you try to help people with some of this kind of stuff, and some people are just, they're not happy unless they're fighting or in some kind of chaos. Okay? That's not the way the Lord wants his church to operate. Okay? And so, in fact, we remember from chapter 1, the prayer is that we would all agree, right? That there would be no divisions among us. It was brought up this morning as well. So we have to work on this, on our way of in our maturing. And it's going to take some change to get something different. If you want something different, you have to change what you're doing in that process. And that's the encouragement that we get here. Let's go to chapter 14 then. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, later in the book, in verse 20, he says, "Brethren, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature." Okay? Sometimes people get a mentally that's what God wants. You know, I've heard people pull this out of context that, you know, in Matthew 18, he talks about children. God wants his people that'll just kind of blindly follow, right? Without any reason. You don't just really think, you just execute. That's not really what God's looking for either. You know, in fact, we do what we do, we know what we know, because the Bible tells us so, right? We sing it in a song, we actually change the words to it. And we believe God. Not believe in God, we believe God. And there's a big difference there. People out there, there's a strong push for this, right? Right now, they're looking at this thing experientially. Experientially. Right? I know what I know because of X, Y, and Z experiences that I've had. I believe what I believe because of X, Y, and Z experience. Okay? And brethren, that's not the way that God operates either. Okay? He's given this book of truth for a reason. And so God says, come, let us reason together through the Word, God's Word. We can prove that this is true. Right? And that this is His holy Word. Any of us that are honest, we recognize sometimes our feelings get us off course, don't they? Have your feelings ever got you into trouble? If you live long enough. Sometimes our feelings misrepresent actuality. You know what? God's Word never misrepresents. God wants us to grow up in our thinking, doesn't He? He wants us to win. He doesn't want us to just, well, okay, whatever I feel. No. No. Be babes in reference to evil, but in our thinking, we need to be mature, don't we? We need to grow up. Grow up. So how has our thinking changed? Well, maybe a better question to ask is, how did I get to the point in my life that I think the way that I do? How did I get here? Why do I think the way that I do? It's a good question. And it probably has a lot to do with our environment, right? How we were raised, how we grew up, what we were taught, what we heard, what we saw. Okay? Many things that, maybe things that you've done and that in conjunction with those that have reinforced that level of thinking. Okay? And then we have people that will enable that way of thinking too in our lives. So to change our thinking, what are we going to have to do? We're going to have to go back, right? We're going to have to go back. We got to change our environment. We can't continue to live in that same place, in that same mind broken down mindset. That change has to happen. How is that going to happen? It's going to have to be a lot in reference to what we hear, what we read, what we see, and what we're taught. Same thing. Matthew chapter 4 and 4 says, Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so sometimes we have to stop and ask ourselves, how much time do we devote to the Scriptures? And how much time in comparison then is everything we think about, we read about, that we watch, etc., right? In comparison, how does that play out? We got to be honest about this, because the world's pressure and pressure, constant pressure, is trying to get us to think a certain way. And the foot's never off the pedal, right? We got to come back to this. The truth. God's truth. Now, I don't care what source of news you got, unless it's this right here, it's going to have some warp to it. Or maybe a whole bunch. Okay? You're going to get some untruths out there, and you can take that in any direction you want, but we have to come back to the Scriptures to change our thinking. To change our, we have the mind of Christ, right? Well, we need this to continue in that. In Hebrews chapter 5, the Holy Spirit really works on Christians, right? And so that by the time that you guys ought to be teachers, it says, you should be teachers. Then you have need for someone to go back and teach you the elementary things again, the oracles of God. What's going on here? You kind of need milk and not solid food. It says, grow up. My paraphrase, grow up. That's what the writer is challenging him on. Come on, let's press on to maturity. The writer of Hebrews is going to say in chapter 6, let's grow up. Let's think. Let's move up a level. Let's continue to press on. Now I want to throw something in here too. The assembly of saints, you know, some of the things that we're taught, brethren, the assembly of the saints is not designed for entertainment purposes, like the world would have you believe. There's a lot of churches out there. That's what it's designed for, is for people to get encouraged, to be uplifted in their emotions. They'll pass the hat and they'll give money to continue to be entertained, right? And to made feel good again. Sometimes the assembly of saints is work. The assembly of saints is work. It's work. You got to bring your thinking cap some days, right? Sometimes this stretches your brain a little bit. Sometimes you come to the adult class, the New Testament overview, you know, deep stuff, the hyperplate theory and the worldwide flood. You got to have your thinking cap on, man, because you know, you walk away and I think, man, maybe I got 10% of what Kevin was bringing out. You know, hey, that's a good start, right? You got to start somewhere. And as for some people that have never heard some of that information, it's like, whoa, hair blown back. You know, I got 10%. Okay, we're good. Keep pushing, though. You got to start somewhere. We got to recognize and understand the Lord's purpose of the assembly of saints is different than the way the world sells it. We're here for a purpose, to be equipped, right? One of the primary purposes, I mean, you think about it, you come here today, this morning we'll say, let's say you got to the regular assembly and you miss the class, which, grow up, by the way. If you miss the class, okay. But let's say, so you got the full assembly, right? Stewardship, Lord's Supper, public reading, and the preaching. You got about an hour's worth of that, preaching and teaching, right? You know, most people can't sit through a TV show without getting antsy. And it's designed for their entertainment and actually for their destruction. What's the purpose of the assembly? It's for us to grow up, right? God's working on us. We got to be involved in that process, though. Changing our thinking, okay? And it's not a bad thing. And sometimes you got to learn. The Lord's teaching us, though, through the assembly. God doesn't want us to be people with short attention spans, brethren. Short attention spans to the point where we have trouble staying awake for a 40-minute message. 40 minutes. Oof. We got to grow up, right, in our thinking, all right? Grow up in our thinking. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, you know, we know, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, right, by the renewing of your mind. How does that take place, brethren? We know. We hear it a lot. Bible reading, scripture memorization, prayer, rinse and repeat, right? It's not difficult. That's not complicated, I'll say. And these are the ways that we will change our mind. We change the way that we think. We change the way that we pray. When we talk to God, that's important. So how about our speech? How about our speech? Well, Jesus says that the mouth speaks out that which fills the heart, right? Actually, there's a key point I want to make here. So we'll turn to Matthew chapter 12 real quick. We're going to do this even though we're out of time. This is important. In Matthew chapter 12, you know, I think it's cool the way that God has some practical things built in to this, right? Because it's easy for us to kid ourselves. I'll just speak for me. It's easy. I can say, yeah, I've had perfect thinking. I mean, I haven't had any evil thoughts this past week or anything like that. You know, my speech was good. I was edifying in everything that I said. Well, maybe put a tape recorder on you for the week. Record your conversations for the week and then turn that on, right? Because that'll let you know real quick. It'll let you know what your thoughts are on, okay? Because what we say is what our thoughts are. Not always. But man, the man back there in Proverbs 23, he was thinking something different than what he was saying. Right? But at some point, your words will expose what you're thinking. And that's what Jesus deals with here in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. It says, either make the tree good or its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out that which fills the heart. The good man brings out his good treasure what is good. The evil man brings out his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Did you hear that, brethren? Did you hear that judgment? The day of judgment will be judged by our words. You know, people are crazy. People are just insane sometimes. You know, it's just, you ever notice this? People will email things, they'll text things, they'll make public posts of their insanity on social media, forgetting that those things are out there and they're not going away. They leave voicemails on people's phones that eventually hang them with. What are people thinking? Those things are not going away. They're out there, and people will remember those things, and it's there for record. Comes back to bite them. Think about it. It's insanity. And so you say, well, Mike, I'm smarter than that. I'm not going to do that. It doesn't matter, brethren, if you're smarter than that and wouldn't do that. Guess what? Jesus has it all recorded. He's got it all recorded, and he's going to be able to pull up any of that. And so there's the exhortation to us here, brethren. Every careless word that people speak, they're going to render account for in the day of judgment. The exhortation, we got to get this thing under control. We got to get this mouth under control. And so a lot of problems in the church take place. A lot of fighting and feuding takes place within the family because somebody said something they shouldn't have ought to said. That's true in the church as well. And so Scripture exhorts us, get that tongue under control. We don't need to go real deep in depth with that, but thanks to Lorenzo's class recently in James. But James chapter 3, the exhortation is the tongue is like a rudder on a ship. It steers the very course of your life. And so our words, the things that we say, impact the future of our lives. Got to understand that. And so things that you say today are going to be borne out in your life tomorrow or down the road. Pretty important that we hold it in check, don't you think? Think about it. You put some pressure on that rudder, right? And get that thing under control. Oh, and here's another thing to consider, brethren. The words that you say impact other people as well. A huge forest is set aflame by such a small fire. You think the Lord's interested in the church in getting their mouths under control? Yeah. It impacts not only our spiritual lives, but the lives of others around us. It's important. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 26. We'll just hit a couple more here, and we'll wrap up. In Proverbs chapter 26, I'm just going to go through this real quick. These actions have the tendency to fall all the things that we think and say, right? The actions follow. And so I'm just going to speed through some of these real quick. In Proverbs 26 and verse 17, it says, like one who takes a dog by the ears is he who passes by and meddles with strife not belonging to him. You know, just being honest, I have a tendency to be really interested in what's right and wrong, and also making others abide by what's right and wrong. Anyone else ever do that? I just kind of set myself up as the policeman a little bit. And that's okay to an extent. I'm saying so anyway, in certain situations. But, you know, you go into somebody else's business and you start trying to straighten them out, it'd be like grabbing that stranger dog by the ears. You're going to get bit, right? You're going to get bit. So we have to be careful, brethren. So, you know, the exhortation by the scriptures here is mind your own business. That's what scripture is saying here. Unless you want to get bit, mind your own business. worry about you. In verse 18, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, was I not joking? We got to talk about this for a second, brethren. We need to be careful with humor. I've got myself into a lot of trouble with humor over the years. We have to be careful. You know, a lot of people will use humor in a way of getting away with being straight up rude. Okay? And that's the truth of the matter. And they said, oh, I was just joking around, baloney. No, you weren't. So we need to be careful. The exhortation with that is to be careful. Scripture says you ought to just watch the court jesting, right? A madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death. Does that sound like somebody you want to be? I don't want to be that guy. Okay? So we have to be careful. In verse 20, for lack of wood, the fire goes out, and there is no whisperer, contention quiets down. When there's conflict, sometimes the best thing is just to zip it. Sometimes it's just best to shut your mouth and let things work their way out. Sometimes it's the best thing to do. Don't need to revile in return, right? When suffering, you don't need to utter any threats. You just continue to entrust yourself to the one who judges righteously, right? And zip it. Grow up, right? Is that a growing up, mature thing to do? Yep. Is it the right thing to do? Yep. How do we know? Because the scriptures tell us. I mean, this is easy stuff, right? Easy stuff to talk about, easy stuff to preach about. It's not so much easy to do it. And so that's why we need to be diligent and aware. Grow up. Grow up. Ephesians 4 and 29 says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is for good, for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. In other words, use your words to build up, brethren. Use your words to build up. Mom always had it right. If you don't have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. Right? Words are to be used for edification, all right? Growing up in our thinking, that does relay directly into our speech, doesn't it? Because the mouth speaks that which fills the heart. Growing up in our speaking, okay? And Jesus also talks about us being judged for what we do, doesn't he? For our deeds, right? In Revelation chapter 20, those books are open and we're judged according to our deeds, right? They're all related, but our doing, I just want to, it's key in on this. In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, what's our mission? To go make disciples, right? Teach it, we'll just make it easy. Go make disciples. God knows what he's doing here, okay? He's trying to help us grow up. God's progression here, and we're out there working with the lost, with spiritual babies, right? What if we act the same way they do? How's that going to work? How long will we be effective in making disciples if we act like them? How far will we get? Not far. And you can see God's progression. You start working on other people. You got no choice but to grow up in this process, the way God has it set up. And so the solution is, let's do what we're supposed to do. Let's do all along the way. If you want to be effective, you'll grow up. And that's the process. And God has that built in. So brethren, one of the best ways to grow up, and what we're commanded to do, is go make disciples. You do that, you will take some, and if you take some personal responsibilities, and you should, partially responsible for how they're doing and how they're progressing, one of the things it's going to force you to do is give them the proper food at the proper time, right? Does a baby cry and needs milk? Feed the baby, right? That's part of our responsibility. The baby needs food, right? Help the baby. Give the baby some milk. You know, Kevin's always told me, you want to grow spiritually, you want to grow up spiritually, get a Bible study. And in that process, the way God has it designed, you will grow up. And so getting in little arguments, brethren, in the church doesn't help anyone make it to heaven. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it's really addressing that issue, right? What did he say? These guys are saying, I am of Paul. Well, I am of Apollos. Why are they saying that? It's because they're looking for something to fight about, and their mouths are just running wild. Right? We heard some of this already this morning. So, brethren, let's grow up in our thinking. Let's grow up in our speech. We need to get that mouth under control, right? And along the way, as we are doing that, the Lord wants us, as we do what the Lord wants us to do, it helps other people grow up as well. And that's the process that God has in place. We help other people grow, and we grow in that process as well. Let's stand. Quick closing prayer. Father God in heaven, we are grateful for the process that you have put in place. Help us to work the plan. Help us to not try and reinvent the wheel, but to follow your commands and your lead. And help us to follow in the footsteps of Christ, who has made all things possible. Thank you for this evening, and we thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.